got my hoodie and everything. So we're prepared, okay? All right. Well, I'm glad that you could be with us this morning, and we're going to sing some little different songs today. This is out of a book called Songs of Grace, and it is actually was put out by Donald S. Fortner of the Grace Baptist Church in Danville, Kentucky. I don't agree with everything that Don Fortner says or does, but I do like these songs, and so we're going to sing them. I don't know who authored all these songs, but I don't know if he authored all of them or whatever, but there's some good ones in here. Grace Baptist Church, Danville, Kentucky. Put out by Backus Book Publishers. Copyright 1988. I want to just read this little preface. One of the most important aspects of public worship is singing of hymns to praise of our great God. Both congregational hymns and special music provided by those who are gifted the Lord with musical talents inspire our hearts to worship, instruct, and comfort us, and prepare the way for preaching of the gospel. The selection of our hymns must never be taken lightly. The singing itself must never be performed mechanically. And those who are called upon to lead the congregation worship by special music must never do so without prayerful, thoughtful preparation. Every song is to be sung unto the Lord, and every song is to be an instrument of edification, instruction, and admonition to one another. It is therefore imperative that our songs be doctrinally accurate and devotional. There is no place for sentimentality, emotionalism, or show in the worship of God. Our songs must not be songs of flattery to the flesh, but songs of praise to the triune God. The scripture plainly tells us what the proper subjects of our song should be. Subjects of our songs are: 1, the name of the Lord, Psalm 7:17. 2, the power of the Lord, Psalm 21:13. 3, the righteousness of God, Psalm 51:14. 4, the mercy of the Lord, Psalm 59:16. 5, the honor of our God, Psalm 66:2, the salvation of the Lord, Exodus 15:1 through 19, and the glories of redemption, Revelation 59:14. Do we have a selection? Oh, Mark is going to read his scriptures first, and then we'll sing. Welcome aboard, Rayon Sam. Sam Rayon.
In Chronicles 10, 1 through 6. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for the Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he was in Egypt, whether he had fled the presence of Solomon, the king heard it that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us. We will serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me. After 3 days, the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old man that had stood for Solomon's father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return hands to this people? Thank you.
Well, sometimes it's good to listen to the old men, and
yeah,
sometimes it's not so good to listen to the young guys. Anna Marie Manilow, welcome aboard. Yes, we will pray for you and your wife Julie and your son Sam. We'll certainly do that this morning, Rahan. Okay, we're going to sing some of these songs. Do we have a selection? Just just make sure it's a tune that we we know. Why don't we start by singing '59, which is to the tune of Revive Us Again. Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Number 59.
Yeah. The name of the Lord is our great and high tower. We run to Him, trusting His infinite power. Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Praise Jehovah our God. Sovereign Savior, we will praise you. We trust you, our God. Our Savior who died to atone for our sins is exalted on high and He sovereignly reigns. Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Praise Jehovah our God. Sovereign Savior, we will praise you. We trust you, our God. Though tempted and tried, we are not in despair. Our Savior is ruling, so why should we fear? Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Praise Jehovah, our God. Sovereign Savior, we will praise you. We trust you, our God. Yes, Satan may roar, but he cannot devour. For Jesus has broken the serpent's dread power. Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Praise Jehovah, our God. Sovereign Savior, we will praise you. We trust you, our God. God's sovereign decree and His covenant shall stand. And all who trust Jesus are safe in His hand. Hallelujah, Christ is reigning. Praise Jehovah, our God. Sovereign Savior, we will praise you. We trust you, our God. God. We heard the Lord Himself is calling.
I need the page, number, please.
Page 39, the Lord Himself is calling.
39.
Page 39.
The church is one foundation. Mm-hmm. The Lord Himself is calling. He's calling unto you. He bids you, weary sinner, believe His word is true. There's pardon and forgiveness through Jesus' precious blood for every guilty sinner who trusts the Lamb of God. The Son of God uplifted upon the cursed tree is able by His merit to set you sinner free. Look, sinner, look to Jesus. He'll give you eyes to see. His blood for sin's atonement He shed at Calvary. Repent, believe in Jesus. Confess your sin to Him. He is the friend of sinners. Come and cast your soul on Him. Oh, trust the blessed Savior. Come bow before His throne. The moment you believe Him, your burden will be gone. Your guilt and condemnation, God will by grace remove. Christ's righteousness He'll give you and show His sovereign love. Yes, every guilty sinner who trusts His saving grace, the Son of God has promised in mercy to embrace. How about number 23, praise for the birth of Christ. This is to the tune of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Christ
the Lord has come to earth. See the wonder of His birth. He who is the mighty God takes upon him flesh and blood. Angels wonder and adore as they watch their humble Lord. Fallen man came to heal his Father's purpose to fulfill. Praise the Lord throughout the earth. Praise him for his gracious birth. Proclaim on earth God's wondrous plan. Now there's hope for ruined men. God's righteous law he obeyed, living as a rightful head. For our sin atonement made, with his blood the price he paid. Justice now is satisfied. God and man are reconciled for his life and for his death. Praise the Lord, our righteousness. Now he reigns, our glorious King, all his ransom wants to bring. To him in faith and righteousness, grace and mercy, perfect peace. Soon our Lord will come again. We with him on high shall reign. We will see the God-man here and eternal glory share. Praise our Savior and our King. Praise him for his glorious reign.
I think mine would like to.
What's the?
I think mine would like to pick one. I don't know. Could she try to, you know? Page 20, Christ is all. She wants to thank you.
Page
sing that
20.
Among us.
And we're going to sing that to which song? Show Pity, Lord, or Tis a Charming Grace, Tis a Song?
Grace, Tis a Charming Song.
In Christ alone, my soul has found sweet rest. By grace he takes me for his own and does for me what's best. Christ is all in all. Christ is all to me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is all, yes, all to me. On Christ I cast my care and trust his providence. His sovereign throne forbids my fear. His presence gives me peace while living in this world. Oh, Lord, help me to see all things now seen within this world. Soon must pass away. There is an aching place within my heart, dear Lord. I long to see the blessed face of Christ, my gracious Lord. In life I'll look to Christ, in death I'll wait his call. In heaven I only hope for Christ, who is my all in all.
Well, let's sing one more before we go over to the other part of our service. Why don't we sing page 37, Sovereign Grace, I Will Proclaim It. This is to the tune of What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Wretched, lost, condemned, and dying, guilty I deserve God's wrath. Long I fought against my master. Help
that I was courting death. But the blood of Christ has bought me. He refused to let me die. This poor sinner loved by Jesus must be conquered by and by.
Let's raise that a little bit.
At the time which was predestined in the covenant of God's grace, God in mercy sent his Spirit, blessed in time of love and grace, to reveal his Son's great merit as a sinner's substitute. I saw Jesus bleeding, dying, suffering as my substitute. Precious blood for sin's atonement, justice could not ask for more. I heard Christ say, it is finished, and I could resist no more. Thanks to God for intervening, grace that broke my stubborn will, grace that would not let me perish, grace that rescued me from hell. Sovereign grace, I will proclaim it, irresistible and free. Grace that chose me and redeemed me, God by grace alone save me. Sinner, now you've heard my story, now I bid you trust my God. Christ, my all-sufficient Savior, saves poor sinners by his blood.
Well, we appreciate all of those who have joined us. It's rather cold down here at the cabin today up on the top of the mountain in Pineville, Missouri, so we got our heavy coats on. But we have warm hearts, and we're glad to see everyone that's joined us. Trey Bradley, glad you're with us. Rick Batorik, glad to have you with us. We sang out of a little bit different. We don't want to get in too big of a rut, right? So we sang out of this Songs of Grace hymnal this morning, and they have some blessed hymns in there. This morning, I want to talk about something that you don't hear very much about anymore, and it's directly tied to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is taken from a little booklet called The Spread of the Reformation into the Netherlands, Met by a Reign of Terror, from 1513 to 1648. And we have really gotten away from even studying history. You know what history means, don't you? History means his story. You know, the history of the church didn't stop at the completion of Christ's ministry. It did not stop at the ascension of Christ. It did not stop in 70 AD. It did not stop in 200 AD. It didn't stop in 1700 AD. And it hasn't stopped in 2019, December the 1st. And the Netherlands, by the way, the Netherlands are the ones in 1597. I'm going to read you their little hymn that they wrote is a little different than the one we sing today. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. See, praise to his name he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, thou Lord wast at our side, all glory be thine. We do all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray thou distill our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. That was written in 1597 in the Netherlands, when there was a lot of tribulation going on. And, you know, on 16th of February, 1568, a sentence of the Holy Office of Inquisition, that being the Roman Catholic Church, condemned all the inhabitants of the Netherlands to death. Are you aware of that? I'm going to repeat that. On the 16th of February in 1568, a sentence of the Holy Office of Inquisition condemned all the inhabitants of the Netherlands to death as heretics. A proclamation of the king dated 10 days later confirmed this decree of the Inquisition and ordered it carried into instant execution without regard to age, sex, or condition. This is probably the most concise death warrant that was ever framed. 3 millions of people, men, women, and children, were sentenced to the scaffold in three lines. Under this universal decree, the industry of the Blood Council might now seem to be superfluous. Men in the highest and humblest positions were daily and hourly dragged to the stake. Well, can you imagine what that must have been like in the Netherlands in 1568 when the whole Netherlands was condemned to death by the Roman Catholic Church? Well, to avoid the disturbance created in the streets by their victims, on the way to the scaffolds, a new gag was invented. The tongue of each person was screwed into an iron ring and then seared with a hot iron. These Roman Catholics call themselves Christians? I think not. The history of the persecutions and killings in the Netherlands under Charles V and his son Philip II of Spain is even worse than the brutality experienced by the Scots under the Stuarts. Well, Emperor Charles V and his son Philip II of Spain had as their avowed goal the complete extermination of anyone who protested against the Roman Catholic Church. This brought a reign of terror. When the fire was being lighted, they repeated the creed and sang together until the force of the flames silenced their heavenly parade. Another edict published in the Netherlands forbade all private assemblies for devotion, all reading of the scriptures, all discussing within one's own doors like we're doing this morning in this little house church. This would have been prohibited in the Netherlands. We wouldn't be having this service if we were there in the Netherlands at this time. The edicts were no dead pieces of paper. The fires were kept burning. In 1540, the Emperor Charles V had entered the city with an overwhelming army. He made the city repent of its rebellion. He executed 19 men who were considered the leaders and pronounced his sentence upon the entire city. The leaders had to come with halters around their necks and kneel before him and say in a loud, intelligible voice that they were sorry for disloyalty, disobedience, infraction of the laws, and on and on and on. Various forms of repression were taking place in Germany at this time through the efforts of the Jesuits and their Counter-Reformation. In his speech, Charles V closed off by assuring his hearers that the welfare of his subjects and the security of the Roman Catholic religion had been the leading objects of his life. Charles introduced and organized a papal inquisition. Those who defended Charles said he entered into a monastery in order to do penance and to draw nearer to God and meditate upon holy matters. Well, Philip II was also one of the worst tyrants of history. The wild plans he concocted in his brain were responsible for the wholesale bloodshed across Europe, spreading ruthless tyranny of the papal dominion consumed his entire reign. He was a very loyal son to Roman Catholicism and did everything in his power to stop the spread of the Reformation, even to send his great armada to England. Well, why am I going over this? Well, you know, it wasn't just their life and limb that the Roman Catholic Church wanted. They not only buried women alive, they beheaded people and burned them at the stake. They forbid all persons to lodge, to be entertained, to be furnished with food. They forbid anyone to give them clothing. And it was ordained that all informers would be entitled one half of the property of the accused. So they stole their property. It kind of reminds me of what's going on in Palestine right now with the Jews stealing the Palestine's property. Well, this did not stop the gospel from going forth. Under the pain of death, the crowds refused to stay away. The people continued to assemble in even greater numbers. On the 7th of July, 20,000 persons assembled at the bridge to hear Ambrose Will. One man and three were armed, some with pikes and some with pistols, others with daggers. Well, the preaching spread through the southern provinces of the Netherlands. Many people from the surrounding towns would flock to the fields where the meetings were to be held. The women and children would be placed up near the rough pulpit and surrounded by the men for protection. The services were commenced with the singing of a psalm. And what were the messages? God's grace. How Jesus had descended from above to save the lowliest and the most abandoned. And those who placed their trust in him were melted to tears. At times, according to those present, not a dry eye was seen in the crowd. Well, the gospel went forth in the midst of tribulation. Well, we can see that there was many, many people who were martyred for the faith of Christ. Tens of thousands of subjects, men, women, and children were burned, and their cinders, their burnt bodies thrown in the river, for speaking words against the Roman Catholic Church, for praying in their own house churches, for refusing to kneel before the wafer when it was past them in the street. This is why they were killed. What has happened to those of the past who refused Roman Catholicism? What has happened? No rank, high or low, was safe from its bloody tribunal. The corpses of the heretics were mutilated and burned, and the inquisitors preyed upon the corpses, stealing from them whatever they could get and rifling the graves of others. People were killed for no other reason than revenge. Women, children, and the elderly were indiscriminately killed. Well, sounds like a Holocaust. Sounds like a Holocaust. In 1584, 2 years after the massacre of the French Protestants in France, William the Silent, Prince of Orange, knew that he now faced assassination. Well, do you know that today, people that call themselves Protestants now are going along with Roman Catholicism? The people of the Netherlands and Scotland and Ireland and many other countries that were killed for the faith of Jesus Christ, their grandson, great-great-grandsons now have gone into Rome, are now subscribing to Rome. Isn't that an atrocity? They've returned to Mother Church. Well, many of them that came out of Rome now have gone back into Rome, haven't they? Well, I'm glad to know that we have a protector of our souls. They can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. We're the three of us, Rosette, Mark, myself, well, Tulip too, our little dog. We're here in a little house church today, proclaiming his story, proclaiming the pure gospel, not a false gospel. Not a gospel of re-sacrificing Jesus all over again, or a gospel of praying to dead saints, or the veneration of Mary. Do you know that Pope Francis recently approved putting up a statue of Moloch? Well, I know that idolatry is one sign of false churches. One sign of false churches is idolatry. Remember what happened in the 17th chapter of Acts whenever Paul went into Athens? What did he say? He said, Acts 17, verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Roman Catholicism is full of superstition. idolatry. And they were promoting it prior to the Reformation. And there were many people that never went into Rome. They never went into Rome. The Arnoldists, the Paulicians, the Lollards. And they were persecuted. They were persecuted. But the good news is that God, in His sovereignty, has proclaimed that, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls." In the midst of persecution, the Waldenses found a rest in Jesus Christ, even though they were murdered, even though they were absolutely almost wiped out. You know, we could face the same persecution. We say, "Oh, it could never happen in America. It could never happen in Pineville, Missouri. It could never happen in your town, wherever you live. It could never happen in California or Alaska or India." Or a lot of third world countries are suffering persecution as we speak. Pakistan. Christians in Pakistan are suffering unbelievable persecution. The people in Red China are suffering persecution. People in North Korea are suffering persecution, and on it goes. We are very spoiled in America so far, but don't think that we're beyond persecution. Christ says that if we're in Christ, we will suffer persecution. And so I want to encourage you that remember that when all of those in the Netherlands were persecuted, it did not stamp out God's church. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How long will the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? How long will they deny that God has his elect?" How long will they say that man has a free will? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a faint thing? The entire world seems to be on the way to hell. But be encouraged, child of God. He is the sovereign king, and it won't be long until our journey is fulfilled. God has always had his people since the creation of the world. His purpose was redemption for them. That's why he sent his son. Sometimes it's hard to find them. They are scattered in here and there. But when you find a like-minded believer, it's an answer to our prayers. We all need fellowship with those of like faith to share one another's burdens and then to our Heavenly Father take. Let's build one another up and not tear one another down. For when we do this, our Heavenly Father frowns. But he smiles and is delighted when we walk in the love of Christ, and having true fellowship with other believers is awfully nice. And it's been awfully nice this morning to have the fellowship with each one that is with us on this broadcast. And this will also later be placed on YouTube and Sermon Audio and the other platforms. We're going to conclude with a hymn. Do we have a selection?
211 on the mountains, Vern.
211 out of the old school hymnal. 211 on the mountain tops appearing. Looking forward to the day when we see the new Jerusalem coming down out of God, out of heaven. This is taken from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, the 7th verse.
on the mountain tops appearing. Lo, the sacred herald stands. Welcome this to Zion bearing, Zion long in hostile lands. Mourning captive, God himself will loose thy bands. Mourning captive, God himself will loose thy bands. Has thy night been long and mournful? Have thy friends unfaithful proved? Have thy foes been proud and scornful? By thy sighs and tears unmoved? Cease thy mourning, Zion still is well beloved. Cease thy mourning, Zion still is well beloved. God thy God will now restore thee. He himself appears thy friend. All thy foes shall flee before thee. Hear their boast and triumphs in. Great deliverance Zion's king will surely send. Great deliverance Zion's king will surely send. Peace and joy shall now attend thee. All thy warfare now be past. God thy Savior will defend thee. Victory is thine at last. All thy conflicts end in everlasting rest. All thy conflicts end in everlasting rest.
Well, be encouraged and realize that to be absent from the earth is going to be present with the Lord. And so they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. God bless each one of you today. We plan on being back this evening around 5 o'clock, the Lord being in the matter. And may you have a blessed day in the Lord. God bless.